Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, 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 Shavuot Tov. A good strong seven right here. Good and healthy brothers and sisters here. The Monday podcast. So here we're at the second day of this Shavuot, beginning a new book, the third book. Third book, Vayikra. And he calls right here in the season, looking forward to the 13th of April coming forward here in this season for Pesach, for Passover, Hebraically, Judaically, right here on the air. Also some program changes as we're going forward, you know, calling. And first of all, give thanks to the co-laborers, those who have co-labored, you know, because the harvest is ripe, you know what I mean? You know, for the harvesting, but the co-laborers are few ones. You know, nothing's going on, but many ones who could be co-laboring are distracted, and hopefully they can get on track again. But here on the in and the I, we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 22. Also, to just review the second book, the book of Exodus, we had Vayakahel, and he gathered, assembled, and Pekude, the sum. So this is sum up. Going to have a continuity and a review before we move forward right here. First things first. Shalom, Habarim. Shalom.
Glory to the Most High Jah. Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Elect of God, Light of the World, is these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he traveled this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
Thank you.
48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever.
Shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, 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 hear the word of the Lord.
They always sing to him songs of praise.
To Wahado, to true teaching, 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 teaching.
The Ethiopian church belongs to the monophysite group of churches which teach that Christ had one nature, that his humanity and divinity became one without intermixing, and that his divinity never separated from his humanity.
In which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach is also of high value.
Sing to him songs of praise.
The true teaching.
In which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach is also of high value.
This Torah portion, 22nd, is all about giving. This Torah portion, Vayakhel, and Moses gathered. This Torah portion, the 22nd, is all about giving. This Torah portion, Vayakhel, and Moses gathered. He gathered, he called church. Is it called church? The Kahal, the Hebrew Kahal. St. Stephen, first martyr of the Nazarenes, and Stephanos, he called it in Acts of the Apostles. He said, the church in the wilderness. This is it. Vayakhel Moshe. First two words of this Torah portion, this 22nd. Here, we're at the the 10th in the second book that's called Exodus, right? And what's very interesting also is that it's all about giving. It is all about giving, and it's the day after the Yom HaKippurim, the day after the Day of the Atonement, after the broken covenant. After they came into the covenant, they broke the covenant, the sin of the golden calf. And then Moses went back up Har Sinai, up Mount Sinai, and for another 40 days and 40 nights. So a double 40 days and 40 nights, even here in the season, Ethiopically speaking, the true church, in the professing church, the church of he who has the keys of great King David, the church of Hashem, Garmawi, Kadamawi, Haile Selassie, according to the tribe, this is the Abi Tzom, the Abi Tzom, the great fast that commemorates and calls the heart and mind. Christos, Jesus HaMoshiach, Yeshua, Jesus Christos, 40 days after the baptism by John the Baptist, he went out into the wilderness. Some say it was the test of the Messiahship, of his Messiahship, his Moshiachship. But the 40 days, we have the 40 days here within the New Covenant, the Christian sense, and in the Ethiopic sense, the Abi Tzom, the Lenten, the Great Lent, the Big Fast. And Moshe spent 40 days in Har Sinai. The first time, receiving these instructions that we have gone over, especially in the past three or four Torah portion reading and feedings, bringing us right here. But just before we get here, there was the breaking of the covenant by Ha'am with the akari, the sin, the chatiyat, the forfeiture, the lack, the missing the mark, the akari of the golden calf, and the broken covenant, the broken law, the broken Torah. Remember when Moshe came forward and he saw the Egel, Masecha, the Egel of Masecha, and it became a massacre, especially when he said, well, who is on Hashem's side? Who is on Hashem's side? Who is on Jehovah's side? And the B'nai Lewi, the Levi, and they gird their sword on their thigh and went through the camp. Woyo. And because of the Egel Masecha, there was a massacre, so to speak, of the 3,000 ringleaders. The ringleaders that had led the B'nai Yisrael. See, that was the first example. Actually, there was the first example of church, of the people calling church, doing it their way, and thus defectively going astray. Right? But now, right after Moshe went up again, after Moshe advocated on behalf of the B'nai Yisrael, Moses was Israel's advocate before Hashem. He took Israel's case to Hashem, and in grace, the covenant was renewed, the renewed covenant. So we have the new covenant, even foreshadowed in the old covenant scripture right here. And then 40 days, and Moshe now descending from Har Sinai with the second set of tablets, right, after the first one that was broken. Then the people knew, then the people knew that they were forgiven, right, that they had received, right, atonement. Thus we have the Yom HaKippurim, one day after, day after. So here, this Torah portion, 22nd, picks up with the day after the day, the Yom HaKippurim of the atonement. The atonements, all of the atonements as one atonement. So the 22nd reading from HaTorah, from the Torah, from the five books of Moshe here in the second book, right? So here at the second to last reading, the second to last reading from the book of Exodus, that's called Exodus, the Sefer Shemot, Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim, the book, the cipher of the coming out, Yetziat from Mitzrayim. Now this Torah portion is called Vayakhel, often enunciated by all the Yehudi as Vayakhel, but in the Hebrew, the root Hebrew, Afro-Semitically pointed, Vayakhel, the root word, the Kaha, the calling, the outcall, he called them out, Ekkalio, we have in the New Testament sense, Ekkalio, from that we get Ekklesia, and Ekklesia is a church, Ek out of, Kalio, called out. And he gathered, KJV has it, and he gathered. In some of the Yehudi and the Judaic writings and the translations, they have it more as, and he assembled. We say, and he called church. We, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, studying and getting to the roots right here, the Kaha. And he convoked, some say convened. We say he churched, right? He churched. He checks the people. He called them out. He called them out. He gathers them. Gathers together. And from this we get in the Greek the word synagoga, synagogue, the synagogue, the gathering together. Syn, together, gaga, to gather. Wayakahem, wayakahem, the kaha, the church. So now the name comes from the first words of the first verse of the reading, which could be literally translated to read, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the sons of Israel, the Bnei, the Kol Edat, the Kol Edat Bnei Israel, in Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. Now this portion, this Torah portion right here, it describes how the assembly of the Bnei Israel, the Israelites, the sons of Israel, how they work together to gather, to build HaMishkan, to build the tabernacle. Now, in most years, in most Shanas, and in most gatherings, the synagogue, the Mikorah, right, in the Hebrew church, read Wayakahel together with the following, with the last reading in the second book, Pekude, Pekude, Pekude. But here, because of the leap year that we got right here, right, we read this, and this Shabbat corresponding with the Shabbat Shekalim, and coming forward, we have Pekude, right, and also looking forward to the Purim. But the Torah portion, the commentary right here for Wayakahel, Wayakahel, or some Vayachel, Vayachel, the Torah, instruction, direction, teaching, the Torah, HaTorah, with an occupation. Torah with an occupation, the Orit. You say Orit, Ethiopically speaking, the second book is known as the Orit Zeat. Orit, the Ethiopic Torah, the Orit Ze of the Zeat, the coming out, the Exodus. So here we have Torah with an occupation. And so the thought for the Shavua, thought for the sabbatical thought, right? Be still and know. The meditation, the medi is when ha'am, when Jah people join together to gather, Wayakahel Moshe, with a common goal, I can do great things. See, the joint effort of Jah people, the people of Jah, working together to fulfill his commandments. Right? His commandments, his mitzvot, right? His commands, his thou shalt, created a spiritual house, an iritical bait, the bait, we say beta Yisrael, the bait, right? The house, the bait, but a spiritual, iritical house worthy of Jah's dwelling presence, of his face, of his presence, of his grace, of his face, his presence, his perception. Exodus 36 and 4, it reads, and all the skilled men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary, they came, each from the work which he was performing. Each one from the work which he was performing. We have Exodus 36 and 4. That's in the KJV there. That's a free read of it. We'll get into the studies right there. But just to get a basic first ear. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary, they came, each man, from the work which he was performing. So we have the Torah with an occupation. Right? The thought for this Shavua, for this Shabbat, for this seven, keeping it sabbatical, is Torah, give us a teaching of his magic with an occupation. See, the building of HaMishkan, the building of the tabernacle, it required each person to contribute, right? to give to the work from his own skill set, you know, his own skill set of the chokmah, the wisdom, right, that spirit of wisdom which he who be we be has imparted, right, in the I and in thee, right. So the building of the tabernacle required each person to contribute, to give, right, to give to the work from his own skill set. Now see, the tanners, those are the ones who tanned, right, the skins, the tanners, they did the tanning, and the weavers, wait, what do you think the weavers did? The weavers did the weaving. The carpenters, what do you think the carpenters did? The carpenters did the carpentry. Metalsmiths, those who were smiths in the metals, they did the smithing, and so on and so on and so forth. Each person had something, and each person has something to offer. Each person has something to contribute from his or her own unique vocational skills. See, HaTorah life, what is Jah life? Jah life is HaTorah, it's the Torah life. It's not just a life of so-called religious rites and rituals and scripture and Torah study. Jah, he encourages all of us, all of I and we, to develop our own unique vocational skills, our own skills, so that we can each be self-sufficient, and I, even in I, indivisible duality, our individuality can be self-sufficient, and when it's necessary, when it's time, and it's time to contribute to the common good of the common unity of the community of Jah people. Now, Paul, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paulos, he instructs each of the faithful, each believer, right, to lead a quiet life, attending to his vocation, his or her vocation. What's your vocation? What's your occupation? Working with his own hands so that he or she may win the respect of those outside of Jah people community, and not be dependent or deep end upon anyone. Now see, each of us must consider this. Right? We can go forward to the word, right? Even selected speeches of Abatachin and Gusachin reinforces the Torah, right? The Torah, your Bible, with occupation. See, he teaches I and I to find some productive field. Jah. See, people say, oh, God spoke to I. God said something. Did God say, did Jah teach you to find something productive to do, some productive field of work, so that we, I and I, will have adequate resources to share and to give, right, to share with others and to give to others who might be in need. And see, these are the guidelines. These are Jah's guidelines right here. Give us the teaching of the divine majesty. We don't want the devil's philosophies. This is the teaching. These guidelines, what they teach I and I, they teach us that making a living, what's called making a living, right? Making a living is part of living out HaTorah. Making a living, work, right? This is the word sound of the King of Kings. Abino, Malkeinu, Abuna, Negusin, Abatachin, Negusachin. Kedemawi Hadassalasi teaches us the one and the same thing, right? That making a living is part of living out, walking out HaTorah, walking out Jah direction, Jah instruction, Jah word, in I and I liberty, in I and I life. Now, even the early sages, they agreed that with these statements. Right? The early stages all agree with these statements. This is the objective truth. This is the objective reality. Those who object to this objective truth and objective reality are not dealing with the truth or the objective reality. Now consider this following. There's a rabbinic quotation from the Mishnah about the value of combining HaTorah, Jah law, we could say Bible study, right? Jah Bible study with an occupation. Once again, combining Jah Bible, HaTorah, the Torah study with an occupation. Right? According to, we have Avot 2 and 2, the study of Torah, the study of Jah law, of Jah directions, Jah's instruction is excellent. It's excellent when it is combined with a worldly occupation, an occupation that we may perform, right, in the world, not being of the world, but in the world, a worldly occupation, because the effort required by both, it keeps akri, khatiyat, lack, sin, forfeiture, akri, out of a person's mind. Discipline of the mind is a basic ingredient of genuine morality. In order to follow this aim, one must be guided by living faith, the hymenot, or true religion. See, the study of Torah is excellent when it's combined with a worldly occupation, because the effort required by both keeps sin, keeps akri out of a person's mind, out of a person's heart and mind. But where there is no worldly occupation, the study of Torah, the study of Jah law, of Jah Bible, it amounts to nothing, and it leads to akri. It leads to akri. It leads to khatiyah, to sin. Let everyone who works in the community, in the common unity, work for the sake of the name of Shammai, right? The name of Shammai, name of heaven, name of Hashem, Yesai. Now, how do you view that? Take time, right? Shabbat time, excellent time. Take the time to enjoy, enjoy in the innermost of their innocence. Be still and know this, and know this. According to this view, a person should always combine his or her pursuit of spirituality with the pursuit of an income. To concentrate solely on so-called religious or spiritual matters is out of balance and will eventually lead to ruin. Instead, a person should regard his work, his job, his occupation, right, a religious duty, a spiritual duty. It's a duty performed for the sake of the kingdom of Shemayim, the kingdom of Jah. See, Paul, the apostle, he illustrated this principle, first principle. What be the first principles of the oracles, of the words of Ha'elohim, of the true God. Paul, he illustrated this principle in his own life by supporting himself with his work. And what was Paul's work? His work was tent making. That was Paul, the apostle, Rav Shaul. Paul's work, his occupation was tent making. See, the building of the tabernacle, of HaMishkan, of the Ohel Moed, right? The tent of meeting. It illustrates, it paints a picture, it's a template, right? It's a type and a template. It illustrates the tent making, right? The tent making concept very, very well. The combined efforts of Jah people as they and as I and I and we, as we labor and as we co-labor together, together in all I and I, our respective fields, it results in the building of Jah's house, right? Of Jah's house, of the King of Kings' house, right? Of the true house of Rastafari, yes, I. So that's, there is a first medi on this Torah portion here, Torah with an occupation, right? The Torah study, right? Torah meditation and reasoning with an occupation, with work. Now there's the midot u mitzvot, character and deeds, a good heart, a good heart, a good heart. Stay tuned. Keep it heartical. Yes, I, sabbatical.
Yes.
This is a kind of cause, I think, because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, some Rasta don't see the work, in a sense of do the work. I personally believe that I must help and do the work. Some man believes that, well, all of you just left everything to God. No, I don't believe in like that to you.
So here, for continuity purposes, let's go over just a summary, beginning a new book here, the book of Leviticus, also known as the Sefer Vayikra. Some would say Vayikra. And he called Vayikra. Before we begin right there, let's just sum up right here. There were some additional questions and reasonings just to touch on for continuity purposes. We completed a book, Chazak, Chazak, Wanit, Chazek, be strong, Chazak, chazak, be encouraged, wenit chazek, and make I and I encourage and strengthen one another. So here, just a review, quick review over here, Vayikra, right? Before we begin 4:4, we're going to review this double portion we just went through. Now, usually with a double portion, we usually focus double portion on the first of the double portion and also try to connect with, you know, some of the second. But often we find, and previous we find, that there's a lot of focus and an emphasis from the first of the double portion reading, Exodus chapter 35, verse 1, to Exodus chapter 38, verse 20. And he gathered Wa and Yahel, right? Or Yakahel, Yakahele. Modern Hebrew, as we said, they'll say Vayahel, Vayahel, Vayahel. You hear that? Vayahel, Vayahel. In the modern Hebrew pronunciation, more Afro-Shemitically speaking, Wa and Yakahel, Yakahel. Wayakahel, and he assembled. Now, we touched on the kahal root, which is like the gathering root, and also some of the terms Hebraically that even come into the Brit Chadasha, a.k.a. the New Testament scriptures, as, for example, church, right? The kahal, called the kahal, and also the kahillah, these are terms, the gathering. Thus, we have the first Martha of the Nazarene, Saint Stephen, holy Estefanos, where he's giving his testimony, where he's martyred in that particular chapter there in Acts of the Apostles, and he says the church in the wilderness. But right here, note this, as we mentioned before, that Vayahel, Vayahel, or Vayakahel is combined with the Torah reading of Pekudei, Pekudei, more enunciated as Pekudei. Pekudei, Pekudei, during non-leap years. Now, in years when there's no additional month, that's basically when we now get into the science of the time and counting time according to the lunar and solar, when there's no additional month of Adar, right? Additional month of Adar. Here we get into like even the 13 moons kind of idea, right? Inserted in the calendar. This is when we have the Vayahel, Vayakahel combined with Pekudei, Pekudei during non-leap years. So right here, we have this a non-leap year. We had a double portion, right? And before we pick up more now in the new book, let's just review. So this is for review. Quick synopsis right here, a synopsis, an overview. According to the Yehudi Judaic tribe and tradition, Moshe, Moses, descended from Sinai, from Sinai, with the second set of tablets, not the first, but the second set of the tablets, the two tablets, on the Yom HaKippurim, on the Day of the Atonement. Not Yom Kippur. We don't say, we don't usually say, we'll say it because people know that, but then we'll try to just give them what Torah says. It's not Yom Kippur, the Day of A covering or a atonement, but it's Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Atonement, to keep it right and accurate. Now, on the following morning after the Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, so according to the tribe and the study, Moshe, in studying the scripts, we can see how it took place in the season and the time, and many bring out the reason, according to the Judaic tribe and tradition, that Moses descended, he came down from Sinai. This is after the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf incident, when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of the Israelites, had broke. They broke the covenant before the covenant was renewed. So that broken covenant already became to them in context an old covenant, and we have a renewing, the Chadasha, the renewing of the covenant, and this is where we pick up here in the Shabbat Vayakahel, Vayahel, Vayahel, here. So he descended right on the Yom HaKippurim, according to the tradition. On the following morning, he convened, he gathered, Vayakahel, Vayakahel, he kahal, he called forward and gathered You know, the church is the fulfillment, is I and I, the people, especially our witness, our gathering, our coming together, both in the individual sense, know ye not that your body is the temple, but also here in this context, in the collective sense. And he convened and he gathered together your people to explain Hashem's, John's instructions, his direction instructions regarding building HaMishkan. Then the Mishkan is to bring out the dwelling place, Shakan, Mishkan, called the tabernacle. Now, before he did so, however, he again reminded them, the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, to observe HaShabbat. Now, it's important for us to put the make the sense out of this by the context. This is now after the people didn't know what was up, because they know that, well, yeah, we came into a covenant about 40 days, you know, 40 days ago, you know, before 40 days, about 80 days, actually, if we put it in context of time ago. But now, because of that uckery, you know, they knew that the covenant was not still in force, that they had ucked up. They had broke their part of the contract, the brit, the agreement. So Moses now returning to them, that was joy and good news. You know, I remember his face shined too, you know, that was, and he had the tablets that he had broke and then broke them down and made them drink it. So it was like, wow, it's like this. So now what the first thing Moshe does is remind them to observe, to keep the guard, to hedge about, to observe Yom HaShabbat, the Sabbath day, as a day of complete rest, a day of complete Shabbat, cessation, ceasing of those other occupational activities, with the added provision that they may not kindle any fire on this day. Now, that's a very important reason there among the Chavarim for us to reason on. What does that mean then, right? And what may it mean to I and I even today? But this is what the Torah reading and feeding sums up here, observing the Shabbat and the added provision that they may not kindle any fire on this day. Now, Moshe then asked for contributions of gold, silver, bronze, and other materials for the construction of the sanctuary and its furnishing. All right. Now, this was to be a free will offering, right? Or the Nedava Zebach, or the Nedava Zebach, you might say, but the Nedava Zebach, right? Made by those whose heart so moved him, right? Bringing out the sense of the previous, like we're just like reviewing the previous instructions, and here he reaffirms, right? As a sign of their complete teshuba, their teshuba, or in modern Hebrew, teshuva, right? Which is the repentance, meaning the turn. They was going the wrong way, and now they turned around. And after they went the wrong way, it's like Hashem was no longer obliged to his part of the contract, the agreement. So it's almost as though he had turned from them. So they're turning to him. He turns to them. And their act of doing this is this giving. This is the first thing brought forward, right? So though people might say, well, look how the people gave. But the people also gave on consequence that they had broken the covenant, and here they have the covenant being renewed, or in the Torah context, shining some light on the true context of the New Testament or the New Covenant, it had been renewed with them. So this also prompts their giving. It's like a sigh of relief, you know? So as a sign of their complete teshuva, repentance for the chet, for the missing, falling short, missing the mark, the sin, the uckery of the egel masekha, the molten calf, also called the golden calf, the people, ha'am, amo, Yisrael, they gave with such generosity that Moses finally had to ask them to stop giving. Now, this also explains why they were so generous to even give. I'm not saying that ones didn't really want to, seek to, but because of that relief,
that this covenant with the Almighty that they had come into that was broken by the ringleaders and the people following, you know, one fool makes many, you know, ones and ones with the molten calf, with this other way of doing it. You know, like when you say, well, this is how His Majesty teach I, and then mine and mine make up their other things. And say how much they love him, but they do other things. He instructed them in this, and they said, we'll do exactly what you said, but now they're doing other things. They're making up other things, right? So now after that uckery and the consequences of it, and then for another 40 days, you know, they waited more patiently than they did the first 40 days around because it was like suspended animation. They didn't know what, you know, like what's going to happen to us. Both that shame and embarrassment of what had happened, and then also, as we read in the Torah, how would the other nations look at this too? You know, like, look at you people. Look at y'all. Like, once look at I. Once lost, now found. Look at y'all. All right, next part of this for Vayachel, Vayakahel. Here we have Betzalel and the Holy Av. Betzalel and the Holy Av, they were appointed to be the chief architects or artisans of HaMishkan, of the sanctuary, of the tabernacle, and they led a team of others. So we see the teamwork, right? Right? Makes the vision work, right? And they led a team, right? Brings that vision into reality. They led a team of others, a team, teamwork here. Right? Let's take examples. Even we can apply this to what I is doing here. On the air and in the irid and at home and abroad. And in LOJ, they led a team of others that created the roof coverings, the frame, the wall panels, the foundation sockets of Ha'ohel of the tent. They also created the paroket, what's known as the paroket. What's the paroket? The paroket is the veil that separated the holy place, Ha Kodesh, the Kodesh, the holy, the set apart place, from the Kodesh Ha Kodeshim, from the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Ha Kodeshim. We enunciate like that. Some refer to it as the Kodesh Ha Kodeshim, but still bringing out the Holy of Holies, of the Holy Ones. Both the roof and the veil, the paroket, were designed with embroidered. So we also have the embroidery, right? Which is like the cunning needlework that brings out the sense of the embroidery. But here we have the roof and the veil being designed with embroidered kirubim, the kepraim, the cherubim, winged, some say, angelic beings, right? But in the truth, you know, ones and ones misrepresented, you know, as you see in iconography, but that's another topic right there. What were the cherubim, the kirubim? Were they, as we say, the kepraim, right? Obviously, whatever they were, the people knew. And note this, of all the detailed direction instructions that we're given with the creation of the furniture and the elements and how it's to look and how this is supposed to be attached to that, we don't get any kind of description of the kirubim, right? What's the kirubim, the kepraim, what do they look like? But what's obvious, they was told the details of everything else and how everything else had to look, that they knew what kirubim were. Just a point of reasonment there, you know, to taking our notes right there, right? So the roof and the veil were designed with embroidered kirubim, these winged, some say angelic, these winged beings. Betzalel, in the shadow of El, the shadow of the Almighty, the meaning of his name, Betzalel, then created the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant and its cover. The cover is called the mercy seat often. In the Hebrew, we refer to it as the kaporet, right? And the kapar, kippur, that covering idea, the kaporet, right? That was the soul, the only object that would occupy the innermost of the inner chamber of the Holy of the Holy Ones, or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Now, Betzalel also, right, made the three sacred
furnishings for the holy place, for HaKodesh, for the Kodesh, the set-apart place called the holy place. What are those three sacred furnishings? One is a table of bread, of the shoe bread, known as the Shulchan table. The next is HaMenorah, the lampstand, not the candlesticks. So strike that even in the KJV. You know, the context is kind of lost in translation. It's not about candles, no wax. It's not talking about wax. It's talking about lamps being lit with oil. So it's not the candlesticks, but it's the lampstand. Yes, ones might use candlesticks today, but we're studying what it was then, according to what is written. And the altar of incense, or we say of Aishans, namely the Mizbeach HaKetoret. Right? The Mizbeach HaKetoret, HaKetoret. As well as the anointing oil. So we have the anointing oil. Another key point is that one of the elements in both the incense, the Aishans, and one of the elements, the ingredients, we can say, in the anointing oil, the Messiah-ing, the christening oil, is the kane bosom, a.k.a. the cannabis. One of the elements. In other words, the incense here has a special, you say, a special concoction. It's a special, that this is only for anointing, and this is only for the Aishans, but one of the elements, right, is the cannabis, just to point it out. And so the anointing oil, so this is what Bezalel, who is named by name, right, Bezalel, whose name means in the shadow of El, right, in the translation, they'll say the shadow of God and the shadow of the Almighty. He was over those things, and as well as the anointing oil that would consecrate, right, that would like initiate and consecrate these furnishings. All of these things were, according to the scripts, Torah, anointed. Now, Bezalel then created the copper or the bronze, some say the brazen, right, or the copper altar in the outer court for burnt offerings, along with its implements, the tools and everything, and the copper basin or the laver, the bronze copper laver, right, that was created from the mirrors, the ancient Tawi, Sematawi, Mitzrayim, ancient Egyptian, the mirrors, right, that the woman who ministered in the entrance, the patach, They ministered at the patach, at the entrance of the Ohel Moed, of the tent of meeting. They donated their mirrors. And it's interesting because they find similar mirrors even today, right? Even made out of the same type of material, the copper bronze mirrors. So the woman donated their mirrors that they brought out from Mitzrayim, from the Tawi, right? And they also ministered at the door, right, outside of the door, at the door of the tent of meeting, known as the patach, right? He then formed the courtyard. Speaking about the works of Bezalel, he formed the courtyard, right, by installing the hangings, the posts, the foundation sockets, and created the three colored. He created the three-colored gate that was used to access the courtyard. So each of these particular points are points and reasonings that are of quite interest, and we hope that we will have the time, you know, together to reason on it, but just pointing ones and ones, you know, like what were those three colors and how are those three colors used today? That's the whole reasoning. Those three colors being used by our enemies today against us. It's this study to show ourselves approved. So here, that's just the basics right there of Wayakahel, and he gathered. So here, let's pick up right here. We'll go through some quick questions and answers. Just to sum up the previous Torah reading and feeding for continuity purposes, because many of these elements and ideas, they come forward. So to avoid confusion, at least we become more familiar, you know, then we can, you know, then review, because it's building here. So here for the 22nd, right, because this sabbatical here, we're moving forward, but here for the 22nd, the basic questions and answers. We have 13 here, 13 basic Q&As from the 22nd, right, and hopefully whether on this podcast or forward, we can touch on the 23rd, which is Pekudei, the sums, the summary. So just to sum up the previous book, again, Chazak, Unit, Chazek. But here, basic questions for the 22nd, Wayak Ahel, and he gathered and he assembled and he churched, right? Question one, after he descended the mountain with the second set of tablets, let's get into this right here. Pray to I, yes, sir. After he descended the mountain, Hahar, with the second set of tablets, what was the first commandment that Moshe delivered to Ha'am, to Amo, Yisrael, to the people of Yisrael, Yasharala, to the Israelites? Answer, to observe, right, Shemor, like to observe Yom HaShabbat, to observe the Sabbath day. Now this mirrors, this right here in the scripts, it mirrors Moses' earlier experience of having the fourth commandment repeated to him just before Ha-Elohim, the Elohim, gave him the first set of tablets. And we find this in Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. So here's an interesting point right here, that some would say, I think it's the fifth commandment according to the Protestants, or third, they got it wrong because they miscount the 10 words. But Hebraically, the Shabbat commandment is the fourth commandment. And that's a point, because in the Western Gentile Christian world, they misread the numbering, because they misread the Hebrew, because they're not dealing with it. They're dealing with it from the Gentile point of view. So the fourth commandment is the Shabbat commandment, right? And what we have here with Moses now coming forward to the people and basically announcing to the people, right, that the covenant has been renewed, you know what I mean? And almost like that his intercession, right, has been successful on their behalf. Moses, right, commands them again to observe Yom HaShabbat. And this mirrors Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. Moses had the experience of having the fourth commandment, right? The fourth, not the 1 to 3 or the 5 to 10, but the fourth word, right? Repeated to him just before Elohim gave him the first set of tablets. That's a good reason, man. What do you think the reason is that the fourth commandment, the fourth word to observe, right, the Shabbat was repeated? Question number two, what restriction was added? What restriction was added now here to the fourth word called the fourth commandment, the Shabbat commandment at this time? So what we're seeing, and this is where ones get confused, because they'll go to one area of scripture and just zoom in on that verse or maybe a couple of verses and make a whole ideology and their ideas and unlearned opinions. And if they really studied it in context, this is what we call reading comprehension, right? In our studies, we're seeking to comprehend, because this is something that ones would miss, that why did he repeat the fourth commandment? And why did he repeat the fourth commandment when he gave the first tablets? And why does Moshe now, after coming down with the second tablet, repeat that fourth commandment, the observation of the Shabbat? But wait, there is a restriction now. There's something, it says, do the same thing I told you before, plus take note of this. What's that restriction? Answer, not to kindle a fire in your dwelling places on the Shabbat, on Yom HaShabbat. We have this in Exodus chapter 35, verse 3, right? Though we would recommend comparing and contrasting Exodus chapter 35, verse 3, with Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, for more on what we just briefly reasoned on there. Question number three,
who was appointed to be the head, the Rosh, the head, the chief, the Ras, of all the craftsmen, right, of all the craftsmen in the building, right, in the construction of the structure known as HaMishkan, known as the sanctuary and called the tabernacle. It was Betzalel, Betzalel, shadow, umbration, El, in the shadow of the power of the Almighty, Betzalel, the son of Uri, Betzalel ben Uri, Bezalel ben Uri, the son of Hur, ben Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda, from the tribe of Judah, Moshe's grand nephew, Hur, was married to Miriam. Here. Question number four. How did Betzalel know how to construct HaMishkan? He's told what to do, how it's supposed to look like this and like that, and this is going to be joined to that, and that's going to be joined to this, and it's going to have this and that, and the next thing. But how did he know? Right? Answer right here. According to the scripts, it was the Ruach Ha'ilahim, the Ruach of Elohim. It was the Ruach of Elohim that was imparted and inputted. The spirit of the Elohim was inputted to him, imparted and inputted to him, and imparted him with wisdom, Chokmah in the Hebrew, a divine feminine principle, and Tabuna. So the Ruach of Elohim, of Yahuwah, of He Who Be Who He Be, inputted and imparted him with Chokmah and with Tabuna and with knowledge, with Da'at. So the spirit, the Irit, the Ruach of Ha'ilahim imparted Betzalel with Chokmah and Tabuna and Da'at, with wisdom, chokmah, understanding, overstanding, tabuna, and knowledge, da'at. These are the same attributes, the same very attributes, chokmah, tabuna, da'at, that's used to describe Ha'ilahim, the Elohim, as ha-bore, right? As bore ha-olamim, as the creator, the bore, the creator, the irator, the creator of the universe, of the universe. We have this in Exodus chapter 35, verse 31, compare, contrast with the Proverbs, the Mashal of Shlomo, the Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. So, that answers how Betzalel, how did he know how to construct the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Ruach of Elohim imparted him with wisdom, Chokmah, understanding, Tabuna, and knowledge, Da'at. And these are the same attributes of He Who Be Who He Be, of Yahuwah, Eloheinu, of He Who Be Who He Be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, that is used to describe the Elohim as Borei HaOlamim, as the creator of the universe. Once again, the scripts, Exodus 35, 31, Proverbs chapter 3, 19 to 20. Question 5. When Moshe asked Ha'am, the people, Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, to make a, quote, free will offering, end quote, to Elohim for the sake of the sanctuary, for the sake of the Mishkan, the dwelling place, the Mikdash, the holy place, the sanctuary. What happened? Question 5. They, according to the scripts, willingly gave. They gave willingly, super abundantly, and with such generosity that Moshe finally told them, die, Hebraically speaking, enough, die. You know what I mean? Enough. Stop giving. No more giving. Don't make more work. In fact, the Torah brings out the sense of don't make no more work. This is enough. Everything that's been given is enough work. That you're given, you know, they probably could have made much more, but this is what we're doing right here. Enough. Give thanks. Question 6.
According to Judaic tribe and tradition, in the study before us, when did Moses instruct the people regarding the construction, the building of HaMishkan? According to the tribe, it was on the day, right, after Yom HaKippurim, the day after the Day of Atonement on Tishri 11th. This would kind of loosely correspond to the Ethiopia Kingdom of God, the New Year, what we call as September 11th, right around that season, right there. So on the day after Yom HaKippurim, right, day after Yom HaKippurim. Question 7, according to the sages and the scholars of Torah, why does HaTorah place the commandment to cease work on Shabbat, on the Sabbath day, right before the description of the work required to make HaMishkan? In other words, according to the sages saw these things as we go over these things in season, you know, and you know, continue to iron, sharpen iron, and reason, become more familiar with it. We notice some of these things too. So here, question is, according to the sages, why does the Torah place the commandment to stop work, to cease work on HaShabbat, right before the section that contains a description of the work required to make HaMishkan? Why? The sages came to the conclusion, in order to teach us, to teach I and I, what work cannot be done on the Shabbat day. So one of the reasons, as we reason to, you know, and seek to find the truth for ourselves, those before us, in seeing this interesting fact that the Shabbat command, you know, is placed right before describing the work. Why? To teach us what work cannot be done on Yom HaShabbat, on the Sabbath day. Question 8, what was the mistake? What was the quote mistake, end quote, of the tribal leaders, right, of the tribal leaders regarding the donation? What was the mistake of the tribal leaders, the Nassim, like the princes or the, you know, Ras, the, you know, the Rasis, you know, the Nassim, you know, what was, they postponed, they had postponed, the leaders, the tribal leaders, they had postponed giving, right? But Ha'am, the people, Amo, Yisrael, the people of Yasher Allah, their donation was so lavish, was so nuff, that there was nothing left for them to give. In other words, the leaders, because remember, things had broke down because some of them had listened to some of the leaders, you know what I mean, who had led them into the Egel Masika, right, to the molten calf incident and to the broken covenant before it was renewed, before it became new in the sense, the Hebrew sense of renewed. So the tribal leaders, their, quote, mistake, so to speak, was postponing the giving. But the people, after this whole incident, you know, the people said, like, you know, we listened to leadership before, and, you know, the people's giving, you know, was so nuff, lavish, that there was nothing left, right, for the delaying tribal leaders, the Nassim, right, you know, the Nassim to give. The Torah then indicates that this, right, we see a misspelling. There's a misspelling in the name for leaders, right, when we look at it Hebraically, Nisaim, and we'll touch on that. Take note. It's an interesting reasonment, but we get into details here on bringing out why that leads us to this, quote, mistake of the leadership, right? Question 10, question Slika 9. That was question 8 right there. What mistake? The people, that's why it emphasizes the people. In other places, we can see the leaders, the princes lead off, you know, because usually it's, remember, there were 12 tribes, and everything is structured in a particular order, right, according to the order, after the order. Question number 9, what gift did the tribal leaders finally offer, right? What gift did the tribal leaders finally offer? When we read in the scripts, it's interesting to see the people gave everything else, but then the tribal leaders, the Nassim, they gave wagons, right? Wagons, rides, right? They gave rides, wagons, oxen, right? And the precious gems and jewels for the Choshen, for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, for the breastplate of the big priest called the high priest. We have this in Exodus chapter 35, verse 27. Question 10. From what objects was the copper basin, or the laver as it's called, the bronze copper laver or basin washbowl made? From the mirrors. Answer, from the mirrors donated by the Yasha, Yisraeli, the woman of Israel, Yisrael, yeah, the woman. It's the woman that donated their mirrors, their ankh-like mirrors. We can see a lot of them today from what they've dug up, breaking into the Mitzri graves and everything. You know, we're not happy about that there, but at least we can, verify these things in Torah, based on their grave robbing. But we don't condone all that grave robbing, not even of the Mitzri, the Mitzrayim. But it was the mirrors of the woman. The woman donated their mirrors. Moshe at first objected to this. At first he objected to this, but Elohim overruled Moshe's decision. Right? So Moshe, when we talk about the Torah in the fulfillment, in addition to the 10 words, the 10 words is the heart of the matter, the 10 commandments. But you know how people are. You tell them, don't do this, and they'll be like, what do you mean by this? So you give them, object lessons, case study, all the rest is commentary besides the 10 words. And everything you see in some areas of the fuller volume of the 613, some say commandments, that the first part is from Yahweh Elohim. That was the core, the 10 words. But people being how people are, there are additional, right? The additional aspects we can see in the Torah. The Torah has three parts to it. When I say three parts, the influences in Torah. The first part that was just too straight and direct for the people, was the 10 words, the 10 commandments, right? The people, remember how the people fell back from entering into the thick cloud, the darkness? They were afraid. They wanted Moses to be their intermediary. It wasn't like Moses said, I'll be intermediary. Let me go and I'll, no. He said, come on, come with me. But they fell back from that true spirituality. It's amazing how people talk about, I want God to talk to me. Yeah. How he hasn't always been talking to you? You probably thought that was the devil, right? You see? So the people fell back, they fell back and everything from that. So you see that Moshe, right, has a part to play in the fuller value. Some things that Moses, you could say suggested, recommended, became part of the fullness of what we have in Torah. And there were some traditions and practices of the people that also from the elders. So we have Moshe, right, the elders, and then we have Yahuwah. Jehovah gave his ten. He began talking to the people, and the people got scared, right? So this is why that part right here is the part that is the pure part that was not fulfilled. The people needed, they needed remedial. And this is what we have in the fuller context of the Torah as given at that time. So with Moshe objecting to the gift of the woman, but Yahuwah Eloheinu overriding him, it gives an example of why even Rabbeinu Yeshua even says, he points out the law of Moses, and some things came from Moses, but he affirms the part that came from his father, our father, and that is the 10 words, a.k.a. the 10 commandments as they are called. Question 11, what is the paroket? The paroket? What is the paroket? It's the veil. It's the veil that separated the holy place, the specific veil that separated the holy place, HaKodesh, from the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, right? In the tent, in the Ohel. Question 12. What was placed inside the Aron, HaAron? What was placed inside HaAron? Right, the ark, the tabot. The second luchot, in the Hebrew, luchot, the second set of tablets, along with the broken pieces, along with certain the broken pieces of the first set. Question 13, this is the bonus cue right here from the 22nd, here for continuity purposes and review. Bonus question 13. One of the foods we customarily eat, right, or Yehudi and Judaic Torah observant ones may, by tradition, have customarily eaten, right, on Shabbat is fish. All right, this is one of the things that even here in this, 400 years, North Country and all this Babylon confusion, sometimes they'll say, yeah, black people are Jews because black people like to eat fish on Friday evening and night, just like Jews do, you know, that connection there. So this kind of goes along with that kind of idea, but getting to the groundation of Torah. So one of the foods that we or many ones and ones Torah observantly would customarily eat on Shabbat, right, would be fish. And we can see a kind of a long tradition of this, right? Lama for what? Like why? To say lama for what? Why? Why is this? Lama is that. The word fish, interesting enough, in the Hebrew is dag. Dag. Dag or dog? Dog, right? Or one might say dag. D-A-G, right? What's interesting is that the numerical value, right, of those two letters, the Dalet and the Gimel, the Dalet and the Gamel, the numerical value is 7, which represents the 7th day of the Shabuah, the 7th day of the strong, called the week, which is Yom HaShabbat, which is the Sabbath day. So right there, the basic questions here, right, for the Wayak Ahel, first part of that double portion right there. So this is putting a little more work before today's song.
See, so this is what kind of cause I think, because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, some Rasta don't see the work, in a sense of do the work. I personally believe that I must help and do the work. Some man believes that, well, I already just left everything to God. No, I don't believe in like that yet.
Yes. So right here. Okay, we got some DTs here, discussion topics right here. Come, make a reason. And this is for the 22nd RSS sabbatical, 22nd, first of the double, right, here in this season, here for Wayakahel gathering, first DT topic of discussion, reasonment item number one. The word Vayahel, as modern Hebrew speakers might say, Wayahel, more of the Afro-Shemitic pointing, Wayakahel, means to assemble, maybe interpreted as meaning to assemble or to congregate. This congregation is called a Kahila. The word first appears in HaTorah. First, let's just make this note right here. The word Kahila, right, or Kahila, is the word in the Hebrew for church in the New Testament sense. In the Old Testament sense, to use the English, you will say gathering. So when we say the gathering, right, from the Hebrew sense, it's the same word here, kahila, right, from the kahal sense, as we find in Wayakahel, right? So the first appearance of this word in HaTorah is when the people assembled before Aharon, before the man, the first high priest, first Moshiach, first Messiah here, according to the text, the first, we say Christ or anointed one here, Aaron, right? But this is before he was fully invested, we could say, in that function. But the first appearance of the word kahila, which is the Hebrew word for church, both in the Old and in this New Testament sense, it first appears in HaTorah when Ha'am Amo Yisrael assembled before Aaron to make their demand that he make some sort of an idol or, you know, which was the molten calf, to lead Amo, to lead the people in the desert, according to Exodus chapter 32 and 1. Quite interesting, right? The first use of the same word in the New Testament Hebrew sense, right, for church, kahila, that even we have the Apostle St. Stephen saying, and the church in the wilderness. So the first appearance of church, so to speak, assembled, right, from that root is when the people on their own wanted to, as we say, play church. They wanted to play church their own way. Now, it appears that the second time when Ha'am, the people, assembled, right, to create HaMishkan, the second time we have, we could say, the Hebrew context of church here, the kahila, right, is the second time is when the people came together to create the Mishkan. Now, some of the sages and scholars of Torah and some of I and I, you know, reason on this, right, may say, but some of the sages have said that the word is repeated, right, kahila, to indicate that the cycle of apostasy, right, apostasy, away standing apart, right, you know, standing apart, really like almost like as a sense of standing apart, but like a falling away from the way, right, the cycle of the falling away or apostasy and rebellion had passed. So some look at this, well, you see the first time that they did church, it was that golden calf shite, right, so-called, right, that molten calf incident. But now look at the second time, right, is when they really was doing the right thing to create the real Mishkan and do it Yahweh. So let's reason, come, make a reason and discuss the merits. What do you think is the merits of that particular view? Right, that the sages have said that the word is repeated to indicate there's a cycle of kind of falling away and rebelling had passed. What do you think about that? I think it's very interesting, just right here, the kahila aspect. So the word church in English, yeah, that comes from the Gentiles and the English and Germanic and all that Frankenstein language kind of thing right there. Yeah, but they translate it from the Hebrew, right? So when we look at the Hebrew sense, right, even the Hebrew New Covenant sense, this is the same root word and idea. So here's the first area we can say there's a church in the kind of, quote, religious or spiritual sense, but in the Hebrew sense. First instance is the molten calf. Second instance is after that repentance to Shuba, when the people now are creating that real foundation and groundation in the holy place. Second DT discussion topic right here for this Shabbat Vayachel or the Vayachel sabbatical. Donations for the Mishkan, for the dwelling place, were to come from, quote, everyone, her body, everyone whose heart was so moved, everybody whose heart so moved them to give, according to the Hebrew of Exodus chapter 35 and 5. Now, this is called a Nedava Zebach, modern Hebrew, or Nedaba, the Nedaba Zebach, the Nedaba Zebach, Nedaba, right, willing Zebach, like an offering. Now, discuss the importance of motive. Let's reason on the importance of motive in the context of giving to Ha'ilahim, to the Elohim, and giving to his purpose and giving to his cause, giving to Yahweh, truth and life. Let's discuss the importance of motive, the M-O, right, in giving to Yahweh Eloheinu, and giving to Jehovah. Yes, I. What is the difference between, quote, giving from a heart, right, rather than giving from fear or obligation? You oblige, you gotta give. What is the difference between
giving. Let's reason on what's the difference from giving from a heart or heartical giving rather than giving from fear, a sense of fear, or giving from a sense of obligation, like you have to. Yes? Third DT here for Vayakahel, 22nd. Elohim repeated, touch on this in the Q&As, but Elohim, Ha'elohim, repeated the law, the Torah, the direction instruction. That's what Torah is. It's the direction instruction. He repeated the Torah, the direction instruction of HaShabbat, of Yom HaShabbat. Just before he handed Moshe the original set of tablets that contain the Esaret HaDibarim, the 10 words, that is pseudonymously called, popularly called, the 10 Commandments in Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 to 17. Moreover, the prohibition to work on the Sabbath was given immediately before Moses gave the instructions for the building, the construction of the structure known as the sanctuary. Now, the sages, they claim that this sort of a juxtaposition was not accidental, right? So when you're studying the scripts, especially Hebraically and even in the translation, you can see these kind of juxtapositions. So some of the sages, they claim that this juxtaposition of content and what's going on here was not accidental, and it was intended to define what constituted work. You know, malacha, what constituted occupational labor, or what one may say in a general sense as work, although there are different words to define different sorts of work. And how important is the idea of Yom HaShabbat? How important is the idea of the Sabbath day to you and to I? This is a reasoning discussion topic, reasoning topics with ourselves and with others. How would you define with yourself and with I, work and rest? How would you define what is work? Right? How you define work? What's your understanding? This answer is absolutely right. This answer is absolutely wrong. No, it's come, make with reason. How do you define work and how do you define rest? How are we, right? Some reasoning on this particular DT discussion topic. How are I to understand, or come to that overstand, right? The idea of these concepts in light, in the illumination, in light of what is referred to as the finished work of Yeshua in and through the Brit Chadasha. How would we then understand that? So we a couple of additional kind of questions in this discussion topic here, but the questions are to hopefully bring out more of a reason, both of I and ourselves, you know, as well as with one another, with I and I. Come. Here's the fourth discussion DT topic here. Let's reason on how Bezalel may be seen as a type or a picture of HaMashiach. Gotcha, right? You're like, what? Bezalel, what did he do? He's the one, the craftsman. Given the spirit, he constructed the structure. Let's reason on how Bezalel may be seen, Chavarim, as a type, right, or a picture of the anointed. As a type, Hebraically speaking, as a type of what you and others may call Christ. We're just boiling down to Messiah and in basic principle to the anointed. Let's reason on that. How may we see Bezalel as a type or a picture of Moshiach? DT number five, discussion topic here, number five, the glow. Let's reason on the glow. The glow. Right? Or can we say the afterglow? But the glow. The glow that was on Moshe's face. There was a glow on Moshe's face. The glow on Moshe's face, I would say shine and, you know, beams, or even from the Hebrew has the idea of the horns, right?
Yeah, horns of light. Yeah, the glow of Moshe's face first appeared after he descended Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, with the second set, of the Luchot, the tablets, that according to certain Judaic tribe and reasoning was on Yom HaKippurim, or the day after Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. In other words, the glow here in this reasoning was a consequence or like a byproduct of understanding, understanding, overstanding Hailahim's forgiveness and his love, his chesed, right? Salach, right? His forgiveness and his chesed, his loving kindness, his loving mercy. Despite the breach, there still was a breach that was caused by the ukkery, right? The sin, right? Of the Egel Masika, falsely called the golden calf. Now let's reason within this context of the reason, one more reason and discussion topic, but here for the fifth one on the glow of Moshe's face, let's reason on how this glow, this shine on Moshe Rabbeinu's face, how did it reflect, or how does it reflect the glory? How does that shine on Moshe's face reflect the glory of the Brit Chadasha, the glory of the renewed covenant that's called the New Covenant? And therefore, in the context of the glory of Yeshua, Rabbeinu, Yeshua HaNotri, on this discussion topic right here, just briefly, remember that the covenant in its literal and direct Hebraic sense was new because of what this act of Moshe coming forth, the tablets, and they are now enjoined to build the Mishkan. They knew that they were forgiven, and this is now a renewing, right, of that covenant, right, a renewing of the covenant. So in the Old Testament context, it was a new covenant. Over is the context there. But let's reason on how that glow on Moshe's face reflected the glory of the Brit Chadash, the new covenant, right? Therefore, in the light of the glory of Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth. DT number six right here. Discussion topic number six. And the final one right here for the 22nd. Almost all of Parashat Vayachel, Wayakahel, and he gathered, and much of, enough of Pekude, the countings, the sum, consists of information already given in earlier portions of HaTorah. When the Elohim first gave Moshe the vision of the Mishkan, the vision of the sanctuary, why then does HaTorah engage in such seemingly, some might say, it seems like this is this unnecessary repetition. That's what people miss out. You're judging very much about parents. Go through that detail. The divinity is in the detail. But why? One sage noted this. The entire construction of the structure of the Mishkan could have been summed up with the statement, and Betzalel Ben Uri, Ben Hur, carried out the walk of HaMishkan as Hailahim had commanded Moshe. Boom. Could have just been, you know, simple like that. But actually, this repetition is simplicity. There is a simplicity, right? But of course, from the view of most ones, even I and I myself, and going through it again, it's like, wait, I heard that before, you know? But notice, first, we get it when Moshe is up on the mountain the first time and the people just have to wait. They're already in the covenant, right? And then by the time Moshe, everything's fulfilled, the people had breaked it and tried to do church their own way. So they had broke that covenant. They were out of the covenant. Then Moshe, he ascended again. You're over this context right here. So in one context, we get a ringside, not ringside, I don't use it like that. It wasn't a boxing match, but we get a close view of the intimate communion, the communion on the mount between Yahweh Eloheinu and Moshe, right? While the people are waiting. But now the people don't know that. So it's like a split screen. We almost like get a split screen here, right? So the people never really received any of that, right, at the time, right? It's put in the way that it is to give us, while all was going on there, Yahweh, Jehovah already foresaw some things. We can see by what was revealed right there. But the people were free to act the fool and do what they did, right? And we now can learn. It says all these things was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So hopefully we can learn from this, right? But it's a good reasoning topic, you know? It seems like it's a unnecessary repetition. And I thought the same thing, just to testify, I thought the same thing. But then in going through it, you know, and just saying, okay, I'm going to go through it. You know, it's almost like Moshe ascended the mountain. He told the people, Jah told Moses, tell the people don't come near the mountain, right? And come up to me, right? Moses told the people don't come near the mountain. He came up there. And then Jah said, did you tell the people not to come up to the mountain? And they sent him down again. But Moses on the level, he was like, but the people are not going to do this because of themselves. Like, Moses is like almost like saying, it's already done. Like, this is unnecessary. And if you read in the text, it's like somebody speaking to somebody, you know, almost like a father speaking to a son like, Dad, you know, that's already, just do what I said, do, go. You know what I mean? And it's kind of, it made me laugh when I peeped it, when I got it, right? Because it was to enforce that on the people. Because even later on, while they only had to wait, they got bummy and did something else. So it kind of shows that the repetition, right, is a part of learning. You know, even with some of the Amharic for Rastafari and the Hebrew for Rastafari, sometimes we say, well, let's go through the Fidel, let's go through the alphabet again, the basics, and ones want to rush ahead. No, let's go over this. I know this already. Okay, do it. And then they have to laugh because you messed up. So how well did you know what you messed up? You see what I'm saying? So it's like drilling certain things on one level, but actually the repetition is here. If you're paying attention, you'll pick up on it. If you're not, if you think, oh, I just think it's too much, then you're going to, you know, that's what happened to those who got slaughtered. But in addition, why is the sequence of the instructions regarding the Mishkan reversed? So one would say it's exactly the same thing. No, it's similar, but it's not exactly the same. Because when you read it, you actually read the same things in a reverse order. So actually, it's not the same. Why the reversal of the order? Right? Why the reversal from the earlier portions? These are good areas to reason. Iron sharpen iron. Come, come, come. Make I and I reason. So here's the time that we have right here. We're going to move up, move up, move up. Touch on Pekudei. You know, got to sum up the summary before moving forward. Just take a good accounting as the last reading in the second book of Moshe, Pekudei. Pekudei, the accountings have to be accountable. You know what I mean? Take an account. Yes? Yes.
See, this is what kind of cause I think, because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, some Rasta don't see the work, in a sense of do the work. I personally believe that I must help and do the work. Some man believes that, well, all of you just left everything to God. No, I don't believe in like that to you.
Everybody must work.
I don't like that.
Work. Everybody must work.
Young or old.
Work harder. Everybody must work. Work.
Why is our block?
Everybody must work. Work harder.
What's this?
Cause if you're not working, you gotta be loafing. And if you're not loafing, then brother, you gotta be joking. You must work. And don't be a jerk. Everybody must work. Work hard.
EY is like lazy body dogger work. Man and woman, they better try to do some work. Check the ball out. Lazy body dogger work. Man and woman, they better try to do some work. You have a man and woman, them no want for work. This man can't act like a jerk. Yeah, whip a
passing muscle work. Hey, don't be a jerk. Every passing muscle work. They must work.
Yes, 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 yes. So here we have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm 22, which is interesting. Just notice in the correspondence, we just went over the 22nd review of Vayachel, Vayakahel, Vayakahel, which is, and he assembled as the first of that double portion just for continuity purposes. And we have today's daily psalm here, and it's Psalm 22, and that's the 22nd sabbatical here for this Shabuah, with 24th. So we still have Pekudei to review, Gudei, Pekudei, but here, today's daily
here we have today's daily psalm.
Psalm 22.
Mizmor kaf bet lam natseah al ayelet ha-shahar mizmor le-David. Eli, Eli, Eli.
My God, my God, my God, my God, my God.
Eli, Eli.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Lama azabtani.
Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Yoshev Tehillot Yisrael.
Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him.
it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this.
Yes, a new name, Jagat, and it's terrible among men. We them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. We them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like your name. I are the black Jews. And Israel king is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified. You see,
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Psalm 22.
Mizmor kaf bet lam natseah al ayelet ashahar mizmor le David. Eli, Eli, Eli,
my God, my God, my God, my God, my God.
Eli, 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 Eli.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Lama azabtani,
azabtani, azabtani, azabtani, azabtani.
Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy,
thou art holy, thou art holy.
Ve'ata kadosh,
O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel,
Yoshev tehillot Yisrael, 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 Yisrael.
Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this, 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 done this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
אתה יכול לקרוא לו אללה, רסטפארי קלינים ג'אנג'ה.
According to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrew, Psalm Chaf Beit. La Menatzeach al Ayeleta HaShachar Mizmor Le David. For the leader, for the chief musician, upon Ayelet al Ayeleta HaShachar HaShachar Ayelet HaShachar Mizmor le David, cry for help. A Christological intention has long been read into this psalm, today's Mizmor, Mizmor Chaf Beit, Chaf Beit, Chaf Beit. Some enunciate as Chaf Beit, others as Chaf Beit. Psalm 22. A Christological intention has long been read into this psalm, but modern Christian exegetes are agreed that it describes a situation then existing and does not anticipate an event in the future. Now, it's very interesting, today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrew, so from low degrees to high degrees, here from the Sefer Tehillim. In the Sefer, we read and share some of the introductory notes. Now, today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrew, is the 23rd psalm. Grab your pen, your paper, sacred scripture, B-I-B-L-E. Yes, sir. And can I study to shoot I and I selves approve? Because many think, say them no, but if them not study and shoot themselves approve, being guided by the Holy Spirit, then I know what them not know. So here in today's daily psalm, the hind of the morning, it's themed the hind of the morning psalm. So from the Judaic perspective, they say a Christological intention has long been read into this psalm, this Mizmor. But modern Christian exegetes are agreed that it describes a situation then existing. So they try and say that it's speaking about something then existing and not and does not anticipate an event in the future. Only to the Jews who call themselves Jews and are not would that be true. See, now we know better. Maybe back then somebody could think so, but not today. See, the Ayilat HaShachar, Hind of the Morning, a title, not a musical instrument. We have Psalm 22, the beginning of this trilogy of Psalms, a trilogy of Psalm. 22 is a graphic picture of death by crucifixion. So it does anticipate an event in the future of the time that it was first uttered, Mizmor Le-Dawi. Others go on, just to hear a little more, says that, quote, it would not be sound or safe interpretation to rest much weight upon certain coincidences, touching and impressive as these are to the mind of the Christian believer. Some have sought to dissuade we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, and true people who receive this psalm as that fulfillment, the Eli Eli Lama Sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me psalm? The fundamental question is whether the speaker is an individual or the suffering people of Yisrael. And the true answer is both. The fundamental question is whether the speaker is an indivisible dual, an individual, or the suffering people of Israel. And we say the truth in HaMoshiach, in Christ. The answer is both. Now, Kimchi or Kimchi held the second view. Some hold the second view that it's not a suffering of an individual, but it's a suffering of Amo Yisrael. And refers the psalm to the second or to the period of Haman's plot of annihilation. So even as we look forward, even in the cipher, it's about Haman and the time of Esther, Hadasha. Right, and the Haman's plot of annihilation on the authority of the Talmud or the teaching, which identified Ayelet HaShachar, which is the heading, with Esther, with Astir, Chester, Astir. Now, the language is not always agreeable to the hypothesis, that David voices his personal distress under Shaul's, under Old Testament Saul's persecution. The most acceptable opinion appears to be that the psalmist expresses his feelings, his sentiments, his soul as a member of the community, the common unity of Yisrael, Yasharel, the man who sees the true good, the true God, Yasharel, the upright of the true good, the true God, at a time and in an Iowa of suffering. Now that's the notes that we have here in the Sefer Tehillim, right? We call it the Synagogue Psalter and the Hebrew Book of Psalms, the Mizmor Dawit. Now, upon the superscription, La Menatzeach al Hayeleta HaShachar Mizmor LeDawid, to the chief musician, upon Ayelet HaShachar, HaShachar, the hind of the morning. Some say, in all probability, this name, this word sound here in the superscription is the name of a melody to the accompaniment of which the mizmor, the psalm, the intonation, the chant, was to be rendered. Now, before we move forward in today's daily psalm, let's refer to the Scofield Study Bible, Talmudim, Hasidim, Chabarim. Let's refer to the Scofield Study Bible. And here, for today's daily psalm, we have Psalm 22, and there's a footer right here. It's on page 608. And Scofield Study Bible, the first Scofield Study Bible, the Basic Groundation, KJV, from low degrees to high degrees. Here we have Ayelet Shahar. The footer down here, Ayelet HaShahar, in the Hebrew, Ayelet Shahar, Hind of the Morning. They say it's a title, not a musical instrument. Psalms 22, 23, and 24, they form a trilogy. In Psalm 22, we have the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, as we have in the Brit Chadasha, Yohanan, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 11. In Psalm 23, we have the great shepherd, quote, brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant. We have the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. Tenderly caring for the sheep, for Jashit. In Psalm 24, we have the chief shepherd appearing as king of glory. Melech HaKavod, Yekavur Negu, says king of glory to own and reward the sheep, to own and reward Jashit. We have this in the Catholicos Epistle, the Universal Epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Just to get that overview right there, that today's daily psalm, that's also themed the cry, a cry for help, a cry for help. The Ayelet HaShachar upon the hind, upon or on the hind of the morning. Psalm 22 is a graphic picture of death by crucifixion. The bones of the hands, arms, shoulders, and pelvis are out of joint. We have this in verse 14. The profuse perspiration caused by intense suffering. We have this in verse 14. The action of the heart is affected, also in verse 14. Strength, exhausted, and extreme thirst, in verse 15. The hands and the feet pierced, in verse 16. Partial nudity with the heart to modesty, in verse 17. These are all incidental to that mode of death. Now, the accompanying circumstances are precisely those fulfilled in the crucifixion of HaMoshiach, Nabein Elohim Chaim, the Son of the Living Power, the True Good, the True God. The desolate cry, we have a verse 1 that begins today's daily psalm. The Chaf Veit, the Kaf Beit Psalm, the 22nd Psalm, Psalm XXII. Beginning off with the desolate cry of verse 1. We have Matthew chapter 27 and 46. The periods of light and darkness of verse 2. We have Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. The contumely of verses, a medley of verses, verses 6 to 8, verse 12, verse 13, refer to Matthew chapter 27, verses 39 to 43. The casting of lots, the rolling of the dice, the pur, like purim, the rolling of the dice, casting of lots, of verse 18, we have in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. These all were literally, in the spirit and the truth of the word, fulfilled in the first advent of HaMoshiach, Yeshua, Jesus Christus. When it is remembered that crucifixion, note this, was a Roman and not a Yehudi, it was not a Jewish, Judaic, or Israelitish form of execution, but it was a Roman form of execution. The proof of inspiration should be irresistible and irrefutable to those that receive the Spirit of truth and the truth concerning today's daily psalm.
Psalm 22.
Mizmor kaf bet lamnatseah al ayelet ashahar mizmor le David. Eli, Eli, Eli.
My God, my God, my God, my God, my God.
Eli, Eli,
Eli, Eli. Why hast thou forsaken me?
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Lama azabtani.
Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy.
Thou art holy. Thou art holy.
Ve'ata kadosh.
You name Jagat and is terrible among men. He did not like the name. Yes, and you name Jagat and it's terrible among men. He them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can like
I and I are the black Jews, and Israel King is Israel God, and upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I and R I Negro, I Negro, I
on Psalm 22, on Mizmor Kaf Bay 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 Kaf Shema Yisrael, and hear today's Psalm Mizmor Kaf Bayt Mizmor Kaf Bayt Psalm 22 Psalm XXII Mizmor Kaf Bayt. Some say Kaf Vayt, and I say Mizmor Kaf Beit. Lamnatzeach al Ayelet Hashachar. For the leader upon Ayelet Hashachar. For the leader, for the chief musician. Lamnatzeach al Ayelet upon Ayelet Hashachar. Hear, opening verse of today's daily psalm. Hear the superscription. For the leader, for the chief musician, lamnatzeach, upon ayelet hashachar, al ayelet hashachar. The word ayelet, hind, ayelet, anglicized as ayjalet, Hebraically ayelet, hind, is to be taken in the same sense as ayalot, ayalot. Hear. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. God, the Lord, is my strength, and he made my feet like hinds, ayalot, feet, letting me walk upon bamotai. Hear, Habakkuk
3:19. Habakkuk Hanabi, Habakkuk the prophet. Yahweh Adonai Cheli, Wayasem Raglai, Ka Ayalot, Wi'al Bamotai, Yadarekeini, Lanatziach, Bi Niginotai. God, Yahweh, the Lord, Adonai, is my strength. Cheli, Cheli, my strength. Yahweh, Adonai, Cheli, he who be, who he be, Adonai, is my strength, Cheli, Yahweh, Adonai, Cheli, Wayasem Raglai, Kayelot, and he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Wayasem Raglai, Kayelot, and he maketh me to walk upon my high places. With al bamotai yadrekeini, and he maketh me to walk, to trod up on bamotai, bamotai, my high places. With al bamotai yadrekeini, lamnatzeach bi niginotai, for the leader, for the chief musician, lamnatzeach bi niginotai. Binginotai, bi niginotai, with my string music. And here a midrash note here, midrash Tehillim, here the midrash on Psalm 22 on Mizmor Kaf Beit. Here, bamotai, bamotai, bamotai is rendered my high places, my high places, bamotai. In Habakkuk HaNavi, in Habakkuk the prophet, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. Yahweh Adonai Cheli, Wayasem Raglai Kaayalot, Wi Allah Bamotai Yadarekeini, Lamnatzeach Bi Niginotai. He who be who he be, Adonai, Adonai is my strength, Adonai Cheli. Cheli, Cheli, Cheliai, Adonai, Cheli, Wayasem, Raglai. He maketh my feet, Ka'ayalot, like hinds' feet. With all bamotai, Yadrekeini, and he maketh I to walk, to trod up on my high places. Bamotai, like hinds' feet, Ka'ayalot. Hinds' feet. These animals were noted and are noted, the hinds' feet. Wayasem, wayasem raglai, making my feet kayalot, like the ayalot, hinds' feet. These animals noted for their swiftness, their fleetness. Here, the comparison may indicate the freshness of life, the power and the confidence, the eifidence, the godfidence in action that are felt to be drawn from he who be be, Adonai, Adonai, Cheli, Cheli, Haili, Hailiai, Adonai. Rav Pinchas Phineas said, Scripture does not say here, quote, like stag's feet, end quote. Scripture does not say here, quote, like stag's feet, end quote, but like hind's feet. Because the feet of the female deer are surer than the feet of the male. Why? Because the feet of the female deer are surer than the feet of the male. What is meant by bamotai? What is meant by bamotai? As in Greek, be mata, bamotai means, quote, upon the balls of my feet, end quote. And here, midrash note. It would seem simpler to take bema, in its ordinary meaning, which is pedestal or rostrum, and to retain the original, ya'amedeni, instead of considering it a misreading of the biblical, yad rekeni, as does Buber. Now, the translation would then be upon Bamotai. He will cause me, he will cause I to stand up on Bamotai, my high places. Upon Bamotai, he will cause I to stand. What is the meaning of Bamotai? Upon my rostrums. The retention of, quote, to stand is supported also by what is said further on about each Israelite placing his foot upon the neck of a dead Mitzri, a dead Egyptian, in symbol of victory, in symbol of Yeshua, in symbol of victory. Letting me walk, making I walk, Yad Rikeni, making I trod, Yad Rikeni. This is an allusion to my walking, I trotting upon Ha Mitzrim, the Egyptians, the Chemites. When the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, the Chemites, sank in the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, made a sign to the sea, and it cast them up on dry land. And the Bnei Yisrael and the sons of Israel saw them dead, as is said, when the morning appeared, Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Shemot, Exodus chapter 14, verse 27c and verse 30b. Vayeta Moshe et yado al hayam, vayashava hayama lifnota boker le eitano u mitraima nasima likarato. Vaya na'er Yahuwah et mitraima betok hayam. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. Vayeta Moshe et yado al hayam. And the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. Vayashaba hayama lifnota boker le eitano. And the Egyptians fled against it. U Mitzrayim nasim likato. And he who be who he be, Yahweh Jehovah, overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Vaya na'er Yahweh et Mitzrayim betok hayam. When the morning appeared, lifnot boker, vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al sefat hayam. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al sefat hayam. What did the Bnei Yisrael do to them? Each man in Yisrael took his dog and went down and placed his foot upon an Egyptian's neck and said to his dog, quote, eat of this hand that use me as a slave. Eat of this hand that use me, that use I as a slave. Eat of these bowels that had no mercy on me, that had no mercy on I. You can prove for yourself that this actually happened. For of Ha Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians, of the Chemites, it is written, the Lord said, I will bring them back, that thy foot may wade through blood, that the tongue of thy dogs may have its portion from thine enemies. Hear, hear, hear. Psalm 68, Hebraically, the 23rd to the 24th verse. Amar Adonai mi bashana ashiv ashiva mi emez ulot yam lit ma'ana tia me chata ragleka b'dam lishona k'laveka meya oivima mi anehu. Adonai said, Amar Adonai, I will bring back from Bashan, mi Bashan ashiv, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. Ashiv mi mitzulot yam, that thy foot may wade through blood. Lit ma'ana Tia Nechatza Ragleka Bitam, that the tongue of thy dogs, Lishon Kutlaveka, may have its portion from thine enemies. May oibim minehu. Amar Adonai. Mi bashan ashib, ashib, amimus olot yam, lima'ana tia mechatza ragleka bitam, lishona ke laveka, me oibima minehu. Whereupon the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children, the Israelites said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, to the Sanctified, the Set Apart, to the Isle One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. From of old, thou, the I didst perform all such miracles, miracles for us, for I and I. Indeed, we, I and I, are not ingrates. But what else can we do except sing thee, sing the I songs and praises, sing the I songs and Isis? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song to the Lord, Shemot, Exodus, chapter 15, verse 1. Az Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael et ha-shira hazot la-Yahuwah. Then sang Moses, Moshe, and the Bnei Yisrael this song to Yahuwah, to Jehovah. Az Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael et ha-shira hazot la-Yahuwah. So, lamnatzeyach al ayelot, ayelet. Lamnatzeyach al ayelet hashahar, for the leader upon ayelet hashahar. Lamnatzeyach al ayelet hashahar, for the chief musician, for the leader upon ayelet hashahar, the hind of the dawn. Ayelet hashahar means upon the rising of the sun, a song. Upon Ayelet HaShachar, the hind of the dawn, this means, upon the rising of the sun, a song. A different comment, Al Ayelet, upon Ayelet, hind, when read as the plural, Ayelot, may be taken as referring to two women, likened to hinds, to Deborah and to Esther, to Deborah and to Hester. To Deborah, who came from the tribe of Naphtali, Yaakov meant her when he said, Naphtali is a hind let loose, Bereshith, Genesis, Genesis chapter 49, verse 21. Jacob, Yaakov, meant Ha, meant Deborah, meant Deborah, when he said, Naphtali is a hind let loose. Naphtali, Ayala, Shelucha, Naphtali is a hind let loose. Naphtali, Ayala, Shelucha. And to Astir, and to Esther, who is also likened to a hind. In this psalm, in this mizmor, mizmor kaf beit, however, the hind of the morning, Ayelet HaShachar, refers to Astir, refers to Esther. Eli, Eli, lama etzavtani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why has the I forsaken I? Eli, Eli, lama izabtani. Here, mizmor kaf beit. Here, the beit verse. Hebraically, the second verse. Psalm 22, Hebraically, verse 2. My God, Eli, Eli, why, lama, hast thou forsaken me? Hast thou forsaken I? Izabtani. Eli, Eli, lama izabtani. These words are to be considered in regard to the verse, even the verse from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17, that reads, the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. V'haya or Yisrael le'esh, ua kedosho le'elhava, ua va'ira v'akla, shito ua shemiro b'yom echad. And the light of Israel, of Yisrael, shall be for a fire. V'haya or Yisrael le'esh, and his Holy One, ua kedosho, for a flame. Li lehaba, and it shall burn u ba'irah, and devour wi akla his thorns shito, and his briars u shemiro in one day bi yom echad. Wahaya or Yisrael le'esh u kedosho li lehava. Ua ba'ira we'akla shito ua shemiro b'yom echad. The light of Israel means Hezekiah, or Yisrael means Yechezkiyahu, his Holy One. Kedosho means Yishayahu, means Isaiah, and it shall burn. Ba'ira means that Sennacherib shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars, eat up his thorns and his briars with akla shito ua shemiro. This means that Sennacherib's host, his army, shall be devoured, shall be eaten up. Thus, when Sennacherib moved upon Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Yishayahu, Isaiah, and Hezekiah sat in Hahekal in the temple, and from between the two of them came forth a fire, an ash, that devoured Sennacherib and his hosts and his armies. And here a midrash note on the Or Yisrael, the light of Israel, meaning Yechezkiyahu, Hezekiah. Here, midrash note, like Astir, Esther, Yechezkiyahu, Hezekiah is described as casting himself completely upon Ha'el, Ha'elohim, the true good, the true God's mercy. Or the Or Yisrael, the light of Israel, means Mordecai, his Holy One. Kedosho means Astir, Esther, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars. Ua ba'ira we'akla shito ua shemiro. This means that Haman and his sons shall be devoured, shall be eaten up. Our masters said, Haman had 100 sons, 10 of whom were slain, 10 hanged, 10 dismembered and thrown to dogs, and the remaining 70 went begging for 12 months, for 12 moons, from door to door, and at the end were also slain. How then shall one interpret, it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day? How shall one interpret, ua ba'ira we'akla shito ua shemiro b'yom echad? How shall one interpret this? In this way, as a man measures, so is he measured. As a man measures, so is he measured. As Haman made a decree, according to Esther chapter 3, verse 13, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews. Le hashmid, la herog, ua le abed, et kol hay yehudim, to destroy, le hashmid, to slay, la herog, and to cause to perish, ua le abed, all Jews, et kol hay yehudim, all the Yehudi, et kol hayehudi. So it was decreed against him and his, it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars. Ua ba'ira we'akla shito ua shemiro. A different comment on the light of Israel shall be for a fire. Wehaya or Yisrael le'esh. This refers to Aster, to Esther, who shone like the light of the morning for Israel, for Yisrael. But is not light the same as fire, and fire the same as light? The verse here, it implies, however, that HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, said, I shall make the day have two faces, a face of light for Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, and a face of Choshek, of darkness, of disillumination, for HaGoyim, for the Goye HaAretz, for the nations of the earth, of whom Scripture says, even in Amos chapter 5, verse 18, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. Wherefore would y'all have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. Hoi hamitavim et yom Yahuwah. Lama ze lakem yom Yahuwah? Hu choshek v'lo or. Woe to you that desire the day of Jehovah, the day of he who be, who he be. Hoi hamitavim et yom Yahuwah. Wherefore? Lama ze? Wherefore? Lama ze lakem yom Yahuwah? Wherefore would y'all have the day of Jehovah? Hu choshek, it is darkness. Hu choshek, with lo or, and not light. Hoi hamitawim et yom Yahuwah. Lama ze lakem yom Yahuwah? Hu choshek, with lo or. In this world's use, when a man lights a lamp in his parlor, can he possibly say, quote, such and such a man who is my friend is free to use the light of the lamp, but my foe is not free to use the light of the lamp? The truth is that all men alike can use the light of a lamp, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Holy One, blessed be he, does things differently. Though all men alike can make use of light in this world, and Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'el Elohim, gives choshek, darkness, to all alike in this world, Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'el Elohim, in the time to come, Hazman al-Labo will say only to Yisrael, will say only to Israel, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But upon thee, the Lord will arise. Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. Kumi ori kiva orek ukavodiyo alaik zarach. Kihine ha choshek yikaseh eretz va'erasel aleumim v'alayik yizrach Yahuwah ukavodo alayik yaraeh. Arise, kumi, ori, ki ba, orek, shine, for thy light is come. Hear, 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 he who be, we be, speaking to she. Kumi, ori, ki ba, orek, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Ukavod Yahuwah alayik zarach, and the glory of Jehovah, ukavod Yahuwah, ukavod Yahuwah, ukavod, and the glory, Yahuwah, of he who be, we be, of Jehovah, alayik zarach, is risen. Up on thee, I, speaking to she. Ki hine, for behold, ki hine, ha choshek, darkness, yikaseh eretz, shall cover the eretz, the earth, the earthly plane, Wa erafel le'umim, and gross darkness. Wa erafel, and the erafel, gross, thick darkness. Wa erafel le'umim, the peoples. We alaik yizrach Yahuwah, but up on the eye, speaking to she, he who be who he be, will arise. We alaik yizrach Yahuwah. U kavodo alaik yara'eh, and his glory. U kavodo, and his kavod, his kavod, his glory shall be seen up on thee. Alaik yara'eh. U kavodo alaik yara'eh. Umi ori ki barek. U kavod Yahuwah alaik zarach. Ki hine ha chosheka yikaseh eret. Wa erafel leumim. We alaik yizrach Yahuwah. U kavodo alaik yara'eh. Rav Chanina also said, the words, even the words in Psalm 145 and 9, the Lord is good to all. Tovi Yahuwah lakol. He who be who he be, Jehovah, is good to all. Tovi Yahuwah lakol. Tov Yahuwah lakol. He who be who he be, good. He who be who he be, Tov Yahuwah lakol. Lakol, to all. This means that Yahuwah, that Jehovah, he who be who he be, HaKadosh, Baruchu, Baruch Hashem, is good, is Tob, Tawab, Tob, to all, only in this world. But it is said of the Olam Haba, the world to come, in the Hazaman, Zaman Labo, in the time, in the Iwa to come, do good, O Lord, to those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Hear, hear, hear. Psalm 125, verse 4. Heitivah Yahuwah latovim v'lisharim b'libotam. Do good. Heitivah. Heitivah Yahuwah. O he who be who he be. Latovim. To the tovim. To the good. Heitivah Yahuwah latovim. Do good, O Jehovah, to the good. V'lisharim b'libotam, and to them that are upright. V'lisharim are upright. Yisharim v'lisharim in their hearts. B'libotam. Heitivah Yahuwah latovim. V'lisharim b'libotam. Even so, Mordecai and Esther were a darkness for the Gentiles, for Hagoyim, but for HaYehudim, for the Yehudi, for the Jews, they were a light, a illumination. For it is said, on account of Mordecai and Esther, according to Esther chapter 8, verse 16, HaYehudim, the Yehudi, the Jews, had light and gladness and joy and honor. LaYehudim haitah hora v'simcha v'sasona v'ikar. And the Yehudis, and for the Yehudis, LaYehudim, LaYehudim haitah hora v'simcha. And for the Yehudi, for the black Jews of Persia, La Yehudim Haita Ora, light, with Simcha, Simcha, and gladness, with Sason, and Sason, joy, Sason, we Yikar, and Yikar, and honor. La Yehudim, Haita Ora, we Simcha, we Sasona Wikar. Why is Esther, Esther, called Hadassah? Esther means Esther, the hidden one, Esther, the hidden one, for she remained hidden fast in her chambers. And here you hear a midrash note, a play on the words, the Hebraic words, Esther, Esther in Hebrew, Esther, and Satar, Satar in Hebrew, Satar, hide and retire. Here, 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 a Hebraicism, a play on the words and the name, the Hebrew name, Esther, 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 and Satar, Satar, Hebraically meaning to hide and retire. But she came forth into the world when there was need of her, when there was need of her to give light or to Yisrael. As for her name, Hadassah, of that it is written, even in Esther, Esther chapter 2, verse 7, Mordecai brought up Hadassah, myrtle, Hadassah meaning myrtle. Here, 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 Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Vaihi, omein, eta Hadassah, he, Esther, and he brought up Hadassah. That is Esther. Vaihi, omein, eta Hadassah, he, Esther. And here you hear the Hebrew word omein, omein, to bring up, to bring up, even as a foster parent. Vaihi, omein, eta Hadassah, he, Esther, and it be, and it, Vaihi, omein, and he brought up, et Hadassah, 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 he, she, he, Esther, he, Esther, that is, or she is, Esther, Vaihi, omein, eta Hadassah, he, Esther. Hadassah meaning myrtle. It was given to her because of her righteousness. Mordecai too was called Hadas, Hadas, or myrtle. This being a name for righteous men, as in the verse, even the verse from Zechariah chapter 1 verse 8, I saw a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. Aiti halaila wehine isha rokeva al susa adom vihua omeda beina ha hitasim ashara ba mitzula veachrayo wasusima edumima serukima uale vanim. I saw in the night, Aiti Halaila, and behold, Wehine, a man, Ish, Wehine, Ish, riding upon a red horse, Wehine, Isha, Rokeba, Al Susa Adom, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, Wehu, Omed Dabaina Hahidasim Ashara Bamitsula. And behind him there were horses, we Achrayoa Susim, red, sorrel, and white, Edumim Serukim Uale Banim. I saw a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. Aiti Ish Rokev Al Sus Adom Wuhu Omed Bain Ha Hadassim. Like a myrtle tree, Hadas, whose odor is good and whose taste is bitter. So Mordecai and Esther and Esther were a light to Yisrael, to Israel, and Choshek, and darkness to the peoples of the earth, of the earthly plane. Do not wonder at this, for of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, of Kemet. One verse reads, according to Shemot, Exodus chapter 10, verse 22, there was a darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Shemot, Exodus chapter 10, verse 22. Vayehi Choshekah Efela Bikola Eretz Mitzrayim Shelosheta Yamin, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Mitzrayim, all the land of Egypt, all the land of Kemet, 3 days. Vayehi Hosheka Efela, Bikol Eretza Mitzrayim, Shelosheta Yamin. One verse reads as such, and the next verse says, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Even here in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 23. Ulekola b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshevotam. But all the b'nei Yisrael, the sons, the children, the Israelites had light, illumination in their dwellings. Ulekol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshevotam. And so, Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'el, Ha'elohim, says to Amo Yisrael, to the people of Israel, even as I have done in this world, so will I do in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. For it is said, even in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But upon thee, upon the eye, the Lord will arise, and his glory shall be seen up on thee, seen upon the eye. Seen? Ki hine ha chosheka ye kaseh heretza wa erafela le'umim we alayika yizrach Yahuwah u kobodo alayik yara'eh. For behold, ki hine ha choshek, darkness, ha choshek, yikaseh eretz, shall cover the earth, the earthly plain, wa erafela le'umim, and gross darkness, and erafel, the umim, the peoples, wa erafel le'umim, we alayik yizrach Yahuwah, but up on the eye, he who be who he be, Jehovah will arise. Ua kobodo, and his glory, alayik, upon the eye, speaking to she, speaking to the corporate soul of Yisrael, we, alayik, Yizrach, Yahuwah, ua kobodo, alayik, Yara'eh, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, upon the eye, his glory shall be seen. Seen, 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 seen.